Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined, as always, on Fridays by my buddy, Rich Rebar, Lord Reebs. We are here to pick probably what will be our last games of the year. We might have something coming for you for the Super Bowl. Not 100 on that yet, so I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. So right now I'm going to underpromise and try and overdeliver. But Rich, we have two games, and the spreads are the same in each game, -7.5. The Kansas City game opened at 7, and right when it opened, I told everyone who followed me on Twitter to go bet Kansas City because it was definitely going to 7.5. Did the 49ers Green Bay open at 7.5 as well, or did that open at 7?
I thought it was a flat 7, I believe it was, and then it got immediately bet. It hasn't jumped to 8, but it did immediately go to 7.5. It got hammered pretty early. I mean, obviously, anytime you have a blowout in the regular season like that, you know, that's going to be fresh in people's minds. That also plays a role in this game, too. I pulled some stuff for in my article for that. So teams that kind of get blown, because these are both regular season rematches, actually. We've got two games that are rematches. But the Packers are in a unique spot because they got blown out in the regular season. So, I mean, we get some of these matchups again in the playoffs.
It was the second biggest margin of defeat of Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yes, and so I pulled some stuff. So teams that lost in the regular season by 17 or more points, and then when they come back in the playoff matchup, they've gone just 3-16 heads up. They've lost 14 in a row in that spot. The last team to pull off a victory, an outright upset, was the Ravens in 2012, the Jacoby Jones, like, fail Mary game against the Broncos. They had lost to the Broncos 34-17 in the regular season. So the teams in this spot have lost 14 games in a row. They are kind of like 50-50 against the spread. But I mean, I think the play here in this game, if you didn't get in and get the flat 7, you don't want to give the hook. You take that 49ers money line, you know, probably up to like maybe 350 minus 375. And that's the way you play that game.
So the picks column that I do on Roto Experts it's just picking against the spread. Next year, mm-hmm. I think I would like to include some money lines for some situations like this, but I just like every week I just made, you know, some of the, like, the picks that I made from this show, I put them in, and each of the last 2 weeks, there's been spots where I did not want to pick against the spread. Because I've talked about this on the show before, but these are literally the most wagered on games in the world. The AFC and the NFC conference championship games from all over the world. I mean, we're talking about literal billions of dollars being wagered on these games. Like, you're not going to find a soft market on these numbers. Like, this is the correct number. Like, whatever you think of the Packers or the 49ers or the Chiefs or the Titans, these are the right numbers as according to all the sports books in the world, as according to all the big bettors in the world. And 7.5 is just, as it pertains to the 49ers and the Chiefs, I think it is just the worst number, because I got to make a pick. And of course I got to bet it because I'm going to watch it. Yes. And at 7.5, I mean, dude, it's got to be the Packers. I think it's 7.5. It's got to be the Packers because – For a couple reasons. The first is, as much as we hate Aaron Rodgers, as much as we think that Matt LaFleur might be over his head a little bit, the Packers, I will give them this, they are a team that understands that passing the ball is more efficient than running the ball. They are not going to be in there. Like, if the 49ers get up to a 14-0 lead, they're not going to do what the Vikings did, which is, like, just still running the ball. Like, the Vikings were just getting blown out, and they were still just like, all right, Dalvin Cook, 1st and 10, 2nd and 9. We got to establish the Cook. The Packers are not going to do that. And also, I think that, and I would love for you to correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think that the Packers probably have some wrinkles in terms of playing like 10 and 11 personnel that they have not used because they have not been forced to. But I mean, they have Jimmy Graham, who's not really a tight end, right? He's a wide receiver. They could use, like, they have this joker. They have the Marquez Valdez-Scantling card that they just never play. They're like, you know what? We don't ever want this guy who runs a 4.3 faster than every other defensive back. Let's just not play this guy at all. So I think that there is some stuff in the passing game that they have chosen not to use thus far, or haven't used since MVS got banged up and they benched him after getting banged up. So basically, I think that the Packers are going to play closer to optimal football than most teams that are 7.5-point dogs.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to what your tolerance is, you know, to lay over a touchdown, you know, in a playoff game, you know.
But that's also it.
As a matchup, it's really hard to back the Packers in a lot of situations.
Correct.
Here.
They suck.
I mean, well, they have two good offensive players. In the 13 games that Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones have played together, they've accounted for 53% of the Packers' touches, 50% of their offensive yardage. In the first game when these two teams played, the 49ers just nuked those guys, and no one else could do anything. The other Packers wide receivers caught 5 passes for 23 yards in that game. You know, they just don't have the horses. I mean, they can move Devontae Adams away from Richard Sherman because Richard Sherman plays 98% of his snaps at left cornerback. And they did that in the first game. You look at all his air yards and his targets, they all came on the left side of the field. The problem is that when you do that, you know, you can still play some bracket coverage. You know, as long as the 49ers prevent Devontae Adams from getting the big play, unlike what Seattle did in that game, because he didn't do anything on Shaquille Griffin in that game. But just the other pieces that just couldn't hold Devontae Adams. And for them to repeatedly get beat by Devontae Adams too in that game was just insane, because they actually did a decent job on Aaron Jones, Seattle did. But if the 49ers come out and they play run defense like they did last week against Dalvin Cook, and they do that against Aaron Jones like they did the first game, it's going to be real hard for the Packers to do anything, because they can only go one direction then, and that's through Devontae Adams. And if he's limited, I mean, we can't count on these ancillary jabronis, the Alan Lazards, you know, the Jake Kumaros, the Valdez Scantlings, the ghost of Jimmy Graham, to really carry the torch this offense. I mean, that's been part of the reason why Aaron Rodgers has been so, you know, ineffective in these games against good defenses too. They've had 7 games now this season against teams that are top 12 in the NFL in pressure rate. In those games, the Packers have scored on just 29.6% of their drives, 19.7% of their possessions. In the 10 other games, those rates are 54.6% scoring rate, 42.7% touchdown rate. They've just been a matchup-driven offense because they only have 2 players to get the football to. And if you can take away those 2 players or limit those 2 players, the 49ers let Devontae Adams, he had a touchdown on a jet motion pop pass in that first game. But anytime a guy has 12 targets and only has 43 yards, you know, that's a win for the defense. So the Packers have to find a way to get explosive plays from Devontae Adams in this game and Aaron Jones. And if they can't, then this game is not going to be close like it was the first time.
The crazy thing about this is like, I don't think of Devontae Adams as like an explosive player either. I think of him as like the complete evolutionary form of like Julian Edelman. Like Devontae Adams is the most elite. I in my opinion, he is the most elite possession wide receiver that I have ever watched. Like in terms of like my lifetime watching games, fought like playing fantasy football and everything. It's got to be like he has got to be the best possession wide receiver that there is.
I mean, since he's come back in week 9, he has 102 targets. The next highest
guy on the
team,
he's like a 35% target share.
Yeah, the next highest guy on the team is Lazard, and he's got 38 targets over that span. I mean, it's really, I mean, if you can take away Devontae Adams, and he's been hot the last month, he's dropped 4. He's like, you know, he's not on a Derrick Henry like run. But, you know, look at his last 4 games, you know, even for 8 for 160 and 2 against the Seahawks, 7 for 93 and 1 in week 17, 13 catches for 116 yards week before that, 7 for 103 and 1. He's been on a hot tear. If you can limit him, then you really just have to make these other ancillary guys, you know, beat you, because they just don't have the horses, I think, outside of him to win in the passing game.
I mean, they definitely don't. And I mean, as always, we do have to, we have to blame Rodgers for this, because he just doesn't let any of these guys evolve, right? Like he just doesn't let these, because he just doesn't trust them. And if you make him look bad, and if you go back and look, you know why MVS got benched? Because Aaron Rodgers overthrew him twice in the first Detroit game, and after that was it. That was curtains for MVS, because he wasn't exactly in the spot he needed to be. And then now Lazard gets to play all the time because he bailed Aaron Rodgers out on 2 bad throws on that. I can't remember if it was Monday night or Sunday night, but Green Bay had that come from behind victory, and Lazard just completely bailed him out on 2 throws in the end zone, and that was that. Now Lazard goes from being a practice squad player to being a starting wide receiver for Green Bay because he bailed Rodgers out. But really, go ahead.
You look to an Adams miss those 4 games. I mean, no one, there was no pivot. There was no guy that stepped up. It was all running back usage. Those 4 games that Devontae Adams missed, You know, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams caught 6 of the 10 touchdown passes in that game over that span, and they had 33 of the 94 receptions. They just pivoted to throwing to the running backs more. I mean, they really need, especially in this game, to have someone step up and make a play, make a few plays probably outside of Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. I don't know if they can. I think what it comes down to is, do you believe the Packers can stop the 49ers? You know, on that side.
And if what it comes down to for me is that 7.5 is too much for a playoff game, right? Like that.
Yeah.
My best argument is that at 7, I probably take San Francisco, and at 6.5, I definitely take San Francisco, but at 7.5, I take Green Bay. That's why
I think the money line is the play, or if you could tease it, you could go that route too. Just like you said, laying at 7.5 because,
I mean, you run the money line parlay, right? Like if that's actually what you want to do, I feel very confident in the Chiefs -7.5. I have no qualms about that situation. So you could even do Chiefs -7.5, which is at even money at most books, and the 49ers money line. You parlay $100 on that, that returns $160. So you're actually getting like a much more reasonable price on the 49ers and that outcome, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the route you go from a betting stance if you don't. I mean, I'm actually probably a little more confident in the 49ers holding this than Kansas City, but I definitely think that they both are winners and you parlay them together.
Wow, that's interesting. You are more confident in the 49ers than the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this Packers team, and like I said, all kind of being, you know, a funnel to two players offensively. I just don't really see how they generate enough points. And if you look at Kyle Shanahan's last two games against Mike Pettine's defense, a guy he worked for in Cleveland, he's absolutely shredded him. And that was one time with C.J. Beathard at quarterback, like had no answer. So I mean,
C.J. Beathard, baby.
So, I mean, I think the 49ers, I mean, I feel confident both favorites here this weekend. I wouldn't bet against either of them. But I do think that just based on what we've seen from the Packers all season and the type of team that they are, that I have a hard time finding out a way how they pull this outright. I think I can come up with a clearer line.
The
Titans continue to run hot in the red zone. They have favorable game script, you know, something like I can find that avenue a lot more than saying, hey man, Devontae Adams has 150 again and Aaron Jones has 100 yards of scrimmage and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
That's what they have to have happen.
Yeah,
they have to have that happen. Like, so I mean, it's a lot harder for me to find that avenue of probability than it is for at least saying like, well, the Titans could have this and this happen, and some, because we've seen it happen repeatedly for them. Although I think that the luck does run out on their 4th straight road game, this weekend.
I wrote this whole article on Roto Experts this week about how like the people who are talking about Derrick Henry the way they're talking about Derrick Henry are missing the point entirely. And I actually, until I wrote this article, didn't really realize the extent to which the Tennessee Titans are running hot. So as you mentioned, they've played these last 3 must-win games. Now, granted, it was against the Houston backups, but still, like, they had to win that game. So they played that game on the road. Then they went into New England, and they played that game on the road as well. And then they played the Baltimore game on the road. So I think, yes, they played those 3 games on the road, but they got lucky in all of those games in different ways. So first, they get lucky against the Texans in terms of playing the backups, which Bill O'Brien said, I think it was two or three years ago, he said, I'll never do that again because the guys, they got rusty, he said, over the break. Then they play the Patriots at the very end of their dynasty, right? Like they get the Patriots, and they would have had to have played Kansas City had New England not blown that game in week 17. That's how the seeding would have worked out, right? So they don't get Kansas City, and then they get Baltimore, and they get Baltimore in, I mean, literally, this was the 1 percentile outcome for Baltimore. Mark Andrews is not able to jump on that busted ankle, drops the pass that turns into the interception. Then the next time the Ravens get the ball back, they go for it on 4th and 1. They don't get it on 4th and 1. That was the first or second time all year. It was the first.
They were perfect on 4th and 1s. They got stopped on both in that game.
So they missed that. And then immediately, literally the first play, 1st and 10, they go play action pass, 45-yard touchdown, Ryan Tannehill to Khalif Raymond, which was, I It was the longest reception of Khalif Raymond's career. So just like, and they, this is just like hitting like an 18 leg parlay basically for the Titans. And my supposition is that I actually think that the Chiefs are more than 7.5 points better than the Titans, especially at home. Like, I think that if there was not this mystique about Tennessee right now, I think that, like, for example, had they played in the divisional round, I actually think Kansas City would have been favored by like 10 because they're just so much better.
Yeah, we, you know, listen, this falls into our, we were looking dicey for that first, we were texting during the games on Sunday, and when it was, 24-0 in Houston, I was like, well, here goes our Chiefs futures that we talked about all season, and now it still fell, you know, they barnstormed back, actually led at the half of that game, which was bonkers.
Incredible.
but they're running hot. I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, they said they won, they've been just as hot since losing that game to the Titans. They've won 7 in a row. I think the spot, too, is underrated. Not a lot of people are looking at this spot for the Titans. They're in like really rarefied air. There's been teams where we've had the 5 or 6 seeds get to the Super Bowl, but they've also had a bye week mixed in. This is the Titans' fourth straight road game in 4 weeks. This is not something that happens in the NFL very often. It's actually happened just 4 times since 2002 that we've had a playoff team. Because it would only ever happen where it's a team that has playoff games. You'd never have a regular season where it stretches out where you get 4 straight road games in 4 weeks. The Raiders had a bunch of road games in a row where they traveled, but they also had a bye week mixed in this season. So it's only happened 4 times since 2002, and all 4 of those times, the team in the 4th week has lost, and they've only covered 1 time. The last time it was the 2015 Steelers. That was the last team to do it. But it's really hard in the NFL. We've talked about that home field advantage doesn't carry as much water, but being on a team that has to travel 4 weeks in a row, 4 weeks straight, it's a tough spot. And to play good teams in those 4 weeks too and continually run on the plus side of variance, like you said, it feels like the spot where it finally, runs its course and it finally catches up to them and they don't pull this one out. And they also just haven't, like you said, they've had 21 drives in the postseason so far, the Titans. They've scored on just 6 of them. They've had just 5 drives that have gone over 36 yards. They just keep producing touchdowns. The last 24 scores by the Titans are touchdowns. They haven't even kicked a field goal since week 15. They haven't made a field goal since week 13. It's unreal.
The field goal stuff was what really, like, really crystallized it all to me, that they have been, like, when they get to the red zone, it's a touchdown. And, like,
and they're doing it on,
it's crazy.
On third downs. I mean, you look at it, it's all third down plays, like high leverage plays. Like you, especially that Baltimore game, like that game was decided in high leverage situations. I mean, Baltimore had 2 4th-and-1s. They did not convert. And in the red zone, the Titans scored 3 touchdowns on third down plays. I mean, that's high leverage wins. And they've just been smoking teams in those areas. Like, how does this keep happening? 13 of their 31 red zone touchdowns under Ryan Tannehill have come on 3rd or 4th down. That's by far the most in the league. 4 of their 6 touchdowns in the red zone they've scored so far this postseason have come on 3rd or 4th down. Under Tannehill, 18 of their 21 red zone plays on 3rd or 4th down have gone for a first down or touchdowns, 86%. The rest of the league runs at 40% in those situations. It's crazy. It's just really wild. They keep just turning these in. I will say this, too, as a counter, that the Chiefs have had the third best red zone defense on 3rd and 4th down in the NFL since Tannehill has taken over starter that week 7 stretch. They've only allowed a first down or a touchdown on 29.2% of those plays, which is third best in the NFL. So there could be a spot for regression, but we also see these two teams play in week 10, and it was just as goofy of a Titans game as we've seen all these Titans games be, where they just ran uber hot in the last 5 minutes and come back and win that game, block a field goal, have a defensive touchdown.
I had forgotten the ending of that game. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
dude, I had forgotten that it all got set up from the Butker field goal block. And the Damian Williams fumble scoop and score.
Yeah, that was in the first half still, but you still have one of those in the game. The Chiefs were up in that game in the 4th quarter, and the Titans scored 2 touchdowns. They scored 15 points. They also got a 2-point conversion. They scored 15 points in the final 6 minutes of that game.
So, yeah, the Chiefs, they got down in the red zone or, like, the 30, and then Mahomes took a sack, I think, and then they set up the field goal. The field goal got blocked. And then even – so you establish all of that, and then actually the Chiefs had the ball driving to tie, and Butker missed the field goal, right? It was like a 56-yarder or whatever at the very end.
The last one was the block. He missed one, and then the last one was blocked, right? I believe the game ended on the block field goal, didn't it?
I thought the block happened then. I just know that they had a field goal to tie it at the end. I don't remember if the block came first or the miss.
The miss came first and then the block. It came on – it wasn't even a missed field goal. It was a drop snap. Remember? They were going to kick the field goal. It was 32-27. It would have put them up 35-27, a full eight. And Colquitt dropped the snap on the field goal.
That's right. That's what, because Mahomes hit, I think it was Hardman for like a 43-yard gain or whatever, and they had no timeouts left, and they had to rush the kicking team out. That is what happened. You're right.
Yeah, so they would have been up eight had he hit the field goal, and then it was just a drop snap. It was a longer field goal, but then the game ended on the block kick.
Oh, yeah. So – well, we're,
that's
what
the Titans,
we're
man.
They, I mean, no yeah, that's running. What we're saying is like that's the Titans. Like that, you just what can you do? What can you do against that kind of like I don't know. There's really nothing you can do. I will say the fact that the Titans won that game against Baltimore. I think I bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl four separate occasions, and I did it again after that game. I just like because the Chiefs are they're plus 140. To win the Super Bowl right now at most books. And I would imagine that assuming they get through the Tennessee game without anyone getting injured or whatever, like they will be favored over the 49ers. Don't you think?
Yeah, they would be. I believe that they would be. I've bet them twice now, two for points to win the Super Bowl. So like I said, we've been on this train. We thought the Chiefs were the play, and we thought the Chiefs in fantasy leagues were also the pivot to load your teams up with Chiefs as the pivot off.
Man,
it's all worked out.
I debinked myself in all of these because I have Damian in all. I have Damian and DK Metcalf. So Metcalf had like the nut score of eliminated guys in week one. And then Damian, obviously, like he's going to go berserk and he's going to get multiplier points in the Super Bowl. But I have no Titans on any of my FFPC teams. Yeah, I have no Derrick Henry. I think I took AJ Brown on like one of my five teams or whatever, but I don't have any Titans, and I have James White on all these teams. So like the playoff strategy, dude, it's tough.
The only way I want the Titans to win is somehow just for everything to melt as if they can win all four games with Tannehill throwing for fewer than 100 yards.
Okay, I mean that's funny. Like if they go and they win the Super Bowl as well and he doesn't get 100 yards in any game. And then what okay, let's say they do that. And let's say Derrick Henry legitimately has like 800 rushing yards in the playoffs. How much do the Titans pay him in the offseason?
I still think he's probably going to get – he's going to get it's going to be like almost probably a Zeke Jerry Jones situation because it's just unique. It's a unique spot for what that team franchise believes he means to them,
kind of like
Jerry believed to Zeke. It's kind of like I think he can hold them up, man. I think he will be able to. I mean, this is like a Larry Fitzgerald type postseason run, we're in the middle of it. And it's not even just the postseason. If you go back like the last eight games, he's had like one game fewer than 100 yards from scrimmage. Just in like games where he's not even getting like buck 10, like a buck, five. Like he's dropping like 160s, 180s.
Dude, the jump pass touchdown.
It was a good throw. It was so funny.
It was so funny. Like I had 0% Derrick Henry in DFS. Like I'm all the way out. In no way does that play benefit me. And I was just like, oh, this is the best. Like that is a hilarious play to have happen.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at – and everything's gone right for the Titans in terms of game script too in these two games. Tannehill's thrown 10 second half passes. He's thrown four passes in the fourth quarter. Four passes total in two games in the fourth quarter. They've had four passing plays.
No way.
Yeah, he's thrown four total passes in the fourth quarter this postseason.
Well, I mean, it's just some of the most insane stuff. You know what? What's interesting? I bet Tannehill props are going to be very low in this game. Like, I bet total pass attempts, total passing yards for Tannehill, I bet is going to be super low in these games. That's when those lines come out. That's something I'm going to look at right away.
He's my second ranked guy for the rankings, the fantasy rankings. He's my second ranked quarterback, where Rodgers is universally a second. Rodgers is my last. He's my fourth ranked quarterback of the four from like a overall like production stance. Yeah, I think Tannehill's going to be underrated from production stance just because of the way everything's gone. But the other token of that, too, is, like, we know how they want to play. So it's just like, yeah, if they try to limit – even the first game was 35-32. Tannehill only threw 19 passes.
You love it. You love to see it. I mean, it's just not going to work against Kansas City. Like, it's just it's just not going to – it can't. It just can't. Says the man who's betting against them for the third week in a row.
Right. I mean, it's one of these situations you want to keep, you know, pig piling on. But they've got a really good offensive line. We know what they want to do if they can play turnover free. The thing is, how does this game start? Because if it starts with the Chiefs scoring, you know, two touchdowns.
Khalif Raymond, 110-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, probably.
The whole start of this game is the biggest thing for how you're betting this, you believe it. I mean, the whole start is just how it is. And then granted, you know, we saw the Chiefs, you know, fall down 24-0. It doesn't mean as much probably for their side if the Titans come out and score. But for the Titans, they need to have that start. They need to have that start where it's neutral and neutral game script, and they're not, you know, they can keep it within two scores for, like, the majority of the game. That's what they have to do. And if the Chiefs come out and score 14, 20 points.
Yeah, if Tyreek Hill is waving to Logan Ryan on his way to the end zone, like, you write it off right there. It's just not going to work.
Because they had no answer for Tyreek Hill when these teams played the first time. He had a career-high 19 targets when these teams played. In week 10, and Adoree Jackson shadowed him on the boundaries, and then he moved inside. Logan Ryan guarded him. He had 11 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown. Probably could have had a lot more. Mahomes overthrew him on one. And then you look at the way this Titans secondary played. I mean, they did well against New England, but, you know, whatever. It's the New England wide receivers. The Baltimore wide receivers had a huge game, and they left plays on the field. I mean, Seth Roberts had a walk-in touchdown. Seth Roberts had a walk-in touchdown. He bricked. They had multiple drops in that game.
Seth Roberts, like, I'm pretty sure he, like, just doesn't know the objective of the game. After watching that, like, it was absurd how bad he was. I could not handle it.
But Marquise Brown had a really good game against the Titans. And Tyreek Hill's like Marquise Brown on, you know, speed. Like,
I mean, he's Marquise Brown's 99th percentile. Like, you draft Marquise Brown going, if he becomes everything we imagine, he becomes Tyreek Hill.
And then they couldn't defend Kelce the first game too. And Kelce's been hot. I know he's a little banked up, but you know, Kelce.
I mean,
they still have
you see him. Sammy Watkins, you see him. He had
two for 70 two. Last game?
Yeah, dude. They tried to use him on a trick play, and he had Damian running free and just wouldn't pull the trigger.
It's been postseason for wide receiver throws and trick plays. We had the Derrick Henry touchdown. John Brown threw a touchdown. You know, they tried to run Watkins on the trick play. Patriots tried to run a couple.
Oh my god! I forgot on the very first drive, the Patriots they did the Edelman back to Brady thing, and I knew as someone who bet on the Patriots in that game, I knew I was like, oh, they're toast. Like if they're using that on the first drive, it's all over.
The Vikings, the first game against the Saints, tried to run a Diggs throw again, and he just took it. My favorite thing about when teams run these plays, or when the play is dead, the guy, the receiver, never throws the ball away. He eats like a 6 yard loss.
Oh, I mean, I actually complained about that before, and I think it's against the rules. I think if you have been lateraled the ball, and it's why running backs don't do it either. It's actually against the rules. If you've been lateraled the ball, I do not believe that you can just straight up throw it away. Because that's something I've complained about on Twitter before, where running backs are about to take like a 10 yard loss and they don't just toss it. So I'm pretty sure that's against the rules. If someone's listening to this and you know, let us know.
Definitely let us know. Yeah, I always figured on running plays they never did it because there's guys downfield. Like linemen are already moving downfield because it's a run play. So they couldn't throw the ball because you've got guys downfield. That's a penalty. I did not know that like the lateral rule, if there's like a receiver's not allowed to throw it away. Because I always laugh when these guys just like – because they're like – they don't touch the ball but a couple times a game and they're not giving it up. I can make this happen.
It's true. I mean, Watkins was – he was holding the ball and, like, doing the directing thing. Like, he was, like, trying to point. And I was just like, dude, what are you trying to do, Sammy? Like, how do you imagine this ending? It's just not going to work out how you think it is. So there we have it. Chiefs, -7.5. I bet it at 7. I would still, like, if you're listening to this and you don't have a ticket yet, I would still bet -7.5. I would bet over Ryan Tannehill props, assuming that they're going to be low, like 230 passing yards, 29.5. Like, think of Ryan Tannehill props like Kirk Cousins props. Like, in games that the Vikings are, like, big underdogs, Kirk Cousins over props have been money. The same is going to be true. And Tannehills are going to be very low, just the way that props are set up. And, I mean, if you're feeling super, like, if you want to just set your hair on fire, you could also bet the under on Derrick Henry props, because you're going to get really good prices on all of them.
Yeah, I like the Tannehill prop call, especially early on, you know, looking at this from the way we're betting it. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that the play is, if I think you money line both games, you parlay them together, for sure. That's a definite play. And then I still think that – I think both teams do cover. We'll see, like, what it is. But I would rather have the 7 on the 49er side. But I do think that both these teams – I think both favorites end up covering.
There we go. There we have it. All right, everyone. Make sure if you listen to this and you want Rich to keep doing it, let him know on Twitter how much you guys enjoyed having him on this show. Rich, buddy, thank you for coming on. Of course, make sure to check out his stuff over at sharpfootball.com. And I will try and work us out something to do for the Super Bowl. No promises, though. And we'll be back. And good luck, everyone, this weekend on the games.